Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Hey everybody, I'm Zach.
And I'm Jesse.
You're watching Tesla Time News.
Episode 422.
On Now You Know.
And I am Jesse, but no, I'm just kidding. I'm back. I am back. I'm in the flesh.
Oh, you're real.
Here I am. I'm alive. So Tesla released its third quarter production and delivery numbers last Wednesday.
And the media and analysts were all over it.
What does this mean for Tesla, Bob?
Well, Bob, Tesla did miss analyst estimates and the stock dropped 3.7%.
Because, you know, Tesla is just a car company after all.
Okay, so what were the numbers?
Tesla produced 462,890 vehicles in Q3 and delivered 469,796. And to be clear, Tesla beat many analyst estimates by a bit and missed some analyst estimates by a bit.
Which means, ipso facto, that Tesla came in right where most people expected.
Right. So let's take a look at this in perspective. Okay, let's go to one of our favorite sites, mainstreetdata.com. This is a quarterly chart of vehicles delivered from 2019. Red is threes and Ys. Orange is X, S, and Cybertrucks. As you can see from this chart, Tesla sold 21,000 more threes and Ys than Q3 of 2023. That's a 5% increase year over year.
How about S, X, and Cybertruck?
That's what I like about Main Street Data. You can get that info visually with just a click. So here's that chart. Tesla delivered 16,000 S's and X's in Q3 of 2023.
And there were no Cybertrucks delivered at that time because the delivery event was in November of 2023, which is in Q4.
Correct. So this latest Q3, Tesla sold 21,600 S, X, and Cybertrucks. That's a 35% increase year over year. And I think that this is the hidden story here. As you can see from the chart, these two Tesla models, the S and X, have great margins, but their sales have been pretty flat since the 3 and Y are such amazing cars and are so much less expensive.
But the Cybertruck is now starting to be produced in meaningful numbers.
Yep, and soon-ish, when the Foundation Series is over, because basically the price has now dropped $20,000, way more people will be able to afford it, and that should coincide with Tesla hitting an even higher production rate this quarter.
So Cybertruck should start to really increase sales numbers.
Right, because Cybertruck is a completely new segment for Tesla, the biggest selling market segment in the U.S.
Now, if you add up the Ford F-150, Chevy Silverado, and Ram pickup sales in the U.S. last year, we're talking over 1.7 million pickup truck sales in 2023 alone.
Cybertruck is currently at 2,000 units per week run rate, with Tesla's goal of hitting 2,500 a week by the end of this year.
That means that Tesla could easily hit over 125,000 sales in 2025, even without increasing their production rate.
And this is my point. While other automakers are just trying to hold on to market share, Tesla is now busting into a new market segment and has already become the best-selling electric pickup truck in the U.S.
Now just wait for Tesla's robo-taxi event on Thursday. If Tesla announces a new $25,000-ish compact car, that will be another new market segment for Tesla.
Right. And while compact cars are not as big a segment as the pickup truck market here in the U.S., there were a million compact cars sold in the U.S. in 2023. And it is a huge segment in other car markets like Europe.
Yeah, about 1.6 million compact cars were sold in Europe in 2023.
And China sold over 30 million cars last year. And while we don't have exact figures about each segment, a huge percentage were compact cars.
Oh, and by the way, Tesla deployed 6.9 gigawatt hours of energy storage. Let's put that in perspective.
Yeah, here's a chart of Tesla's deployed energy storage by quarter. That's a 73% year-over-year increase.
But, you know, Tesla's just a car company, so this graph doesn't mean anything.
So Jesse and I want to thank FlexiSpot for sponsoring today's show.
Yeah, I guess I just took office chairs for granted, but I gotta say that the FlexiSpot C7 ergonomic office chair has changed my mind about that.
Yeah, like you, I just assumed that after a month or two, I would have a half-broken office chair as I've had my whole life, and I just learned to live with back pain because of it.
But not with the FlexiSpot C7. I mean, these things are seriously engineered.
And here's the thing. We have now had these chairs for months. We wanted to make sure that they could stand up or sit down to the abuse of not only us, but we let the whole team here try to abuse them, and they look brand new. But let's go to the features.
And I know we seem like little kids at Christmas, but having office chairs that are actually comfortable is amazing.
First, I've got to focus on the lumbar support. This isn't like other chairs. Like, I had a really nice gaming chair with an adjustable lumbar pillow, and for about 42 seconds a day, it was in the right spot. But then it would slip down out of position, and I got so tired of wrangling it back into place that I usually just gave up and was uncomfortable.
With the FlexiSpot C7, it's this perfect adjustable lumbar support that stays right where I want it.
And it moves with you. Their lumbar support detects subtle changes in your position and adjusts itself as you move to always keep your back engaged, meaning I get out of the C7 without the typical need to stretch like I did before.
I love the adjustable headrest. I can easily move it up and down in many increments to get it just the way I need it, depending on the task I'm doing.
And I really didn't think I even needed this feature, the footrest, but FlexiSpot was like, try one chair with it. And now I won't give it up. I can just chill out anytime I need a break from desk work and lean back and relax and put my feet up for a few minutes of downtime or reading and get right back to work in seconds. It's really intuitive and easy.
You can get the FlexiSpot C7 in a bunch of different colors and with either foam or mesh. We both have them in mesh, and I really like how much cooler I am now.
Super comfortable, really well made, and affordable, delivered right to your door with free shipping.
And you don't have to take our words for it. The C7 ergonomic office chair has won best office chair in 2023 and 2024 from CNET, Medium, Tech Radar, PC Games, and Reader's Digest.
There's so many other great features that we didn't even get into, like the easy adjustable seat depth, forward seat tilt, 3D adjustable armrests. Go check it out for yourself at flexispot.com. So I think everybody in the Tesla community has been worried what is going to happen at this week's WeRobot event on 10/10. Well, Morgan Stanley stock analyst Adam Jonas has issued a note to his clients with what he expects is going to happen. Most expected that attendees will be shown and given rides in a cyber cab on a closed course. Potential initial commercial introduction could be late 2025 or 2026. It is our expectation that Tesla will offer a dual approach with respect to autonomous ride sharing. One, the fully autonomous app-based cybercab, and two, a supervised autonomous FSD rideshare service. We think the latter of these may get the most attention or have the greatest room to surprise investors, at least near term. In fact, we think the vast majority of rides and miles traveled in our Tesla mobility model through 2030 and into early 2030s will fall into the FSD supervised rideshare category, where the vehicles are owned by individual drivers or third-party fleets. And I think this is interesting, but I don't believe it to be correct.
So, wait. So now what Elon has been talking about this entire time is that they're going to turn on the robotaxi network and the cars are going to come drive, pick you up. You're going to get in like the back seat and it's going to drive you to wherever you want to go.
Well, Adam doesn't believe that. And I don't believe Adam. I don't think there will be these supervised rides because it completely misses the point of full self-driving. Does not mean,
hey, why don't you human like sit in the car behind the steering wheel and supervise me while I drive the car?
That would defeat the point. So in effect, I believe all the rest of Adam Jonas's charts and figures here are way off and completely miss the point of FSD. Either Tesla gets the cars to drive themselves or they don't. There is no middle area where people drive the cars. That's called Uber, and Tesla is not interested in that, in my opinion.
I mean, so is his idea that a car will autonomously with no one in it pull up and then you will get in the driver's seat and just supervise it? What
is
he saying?
He thinks that you will be driven by a human driver who's just sitting there supervising the car because they need a safety driver.
That's really what he thinks?
I believe so. Look, I get the pushback against me, right? because you're probably saying, but government regulators won't allow it, Zach. They will when the cars are, say, three times safer than humans. And that day will be happening a lot sooner than most people think. We're going to talk a lot more about this on Patreon bonus stories this week because there's a lot more to kind of get into. But let us know what you think down in the comments. I might be completely wrong.
U.S. District Judge Araceli Martinez Olguyen ruled last week to dismiss the shareholder lawsuit against Tesla for, quote, misleading statements about full self-driving capabilities and violating Section 10B of the U.S. Securities and Exchange Act.
The judge ruled that some of the alleged overstatements concerned future plans, while others weren't necessarily false. The judge said, quote, plaintiffs failed to connect Musk's hands-on management with any information that he allegedly learned, rendering his statements false or misleading.
And Elon tweeted, justice prevails.
The lawsuit also alleged that Elon's sale of $34 billion worth of Tesla stock during the period covered by the lawsuit was evidence of insider trading. But the judge didn't buy that and said that the plaintiffs can amend their complaint and try again if they bring new allegations pertaining to safety by the end of this month.
I'm confused.
All right. So the judge basically didn't buy most of the plaintiff's arguments, but seemed to be saying that the arguments around safety and not shareholder value might be brought forward if the plaintiff can come up with new allegations, basically giving them one more bite at the apple, it seems like.
Now, there are still other pending lawsuits against Tesla, right?
Right. Yes. There's a separate lawsuit about Tesla's lies about FSD. Also, the U.S. Department of Justice has an ongoing probe into FSD. And also, California is suing Tesla, claiming that Tesla overstated its autopilot capabilities and basically use false advertising.
And you might be going like, oh my goodness. Look, we've been covering the news on Tesla for about 10 years. There has always been some lawsuit that's looming. People can drum up stories where they're like,
Tesla's in big trouble. And Tesla's winning a lot of them.
They have been winning a lot of them. It's usually not much happening. It's just that when you have a company worth this much money, you want to sue that company because then you can get that money. That's kind of the way that the world works. It's not the way that the world, I think, should work, but that's kind of the way that it does. So McDonald's posted this last Wednesday. Chat's about to pop off, 10-10. And this spurred a lot of speculation that Tesla and McDonald's may be partnering on something to do with the robotaxi.
Okay, so 10-10, obviously the date of the upcoming robotaxi event this Thursday. Can you zoom in on the receipt? What does that say? Not a Big Mac. Is that like not a flamethrower?
It's like they wanted to say not a Big Mac, but then they're like, well, but that wouldn't work.
That doesn't make any sense. We said not okay. A Big Mac. So it has to be say not a Big Mac, because then it would be a Big Mac.
And then special item coming to a chat near you.
Elon even commented on this with a laughing emoji.
So, I mean, is this going to be like a partnership announcement on 1010? Like Robotaxi will now deliver McDonald's exclusively?
Will Optimus be walking it up to your door?
Or is this just like McDonald's social media department on X being smart and getting some extra attention?
Right. You have to keep in mind social media departments are kind of their own little
fiefdom.
Yeah. And that they're like, hey, man, like, what can we do to get more clicks? And they're like, what's really zeitgeisty right now?
Well, we asked our patrons this week what they think, and we'll let you know later in the show.
All right. So Tesla continues to improve its ASS.
Take it easy, folks. We're talking about actual smart summon, or of course, ASS, because you remember who runs the company, right? Sexy lineup, fart mode, plaid speed.
So with 12.5.4.1, which started rolling out early last week, it's the third time that Tesla has made improvements to actual smart summon, including improved public high-speed road aborts.
Right. So ASS does not function on any sort of public roads. So this update aims to do a better job of recognizing these, stopping before it navigates onto them.
Next is improved blocked camera aborts.
Okay. So like if there was rain or snow or something that blocked a camera, it would just stop moving. Mm-hmm. Doesn't want to hit someone.
Next is reduced false positive collision mitigation aborts.
So the suite will now be more accurate when identifying a potential collision.
Refined dumb summon.
Oh, that's just like pulling it straight out of the space.
And added custom/fart completion sounds.
Added custom fart completion sounds. Come on, people. That is funny.
And Elon said, wow, here I am mistakenly thinking people love talking about ASS.
It's all fun for Elon. It's fun in games. You know,
you got to have a little levity here.
Exactly. All right, it's time for the Cybertruck Roundup.
Yeehaw! The Cybertruck Roundup.
So as we reported last week, version 12.5.5 of full self-driving has come to Cybertruck. And by the way, Mark Cuban, it's not full service driving.
You can't do that with full service driving yet.
And unlike Mark Cuban, who owns a Tesla but won't use FSD because he's afraid of it.
I have, but I stopped using it just because it terrified me. Because it doesn't know what adversarial things it doesn't know. Because, you know, anything that's adversarial, that something, it has to train on something it's seen, and it's not smart enough to figure out what it hasn't seen and whether or not it's a risk. And I've said this before, my 4-year-old mini Australian Shepherd, I can put it in a risky situation to cross the street and trust it'll get across the street no matter what it is. It doesn't have to be pre-trained. You can't do that with full service driving yet.
Wow. We got a lot to unpack here. And you know what? We'll unpack it on this week's Patreon bonus stories.
But suffice to say, we got FSD in our Cybertruck last week, and we are not terrified like Mark Cuban is. So we've been testing it nonstop, and it is incredible. City streets, tough intersections, road construction, getting on the highway, getting off the highway, parking lots. It's been amazing. I've done 45-minute drives with tons of traffic and no interventions. I've also intervened a couple times, and we'll go into all that on PBS this week. So if you want to support us and get all your Patreon bonus stories every week for just $1 a month, then please join us on patreon.com/nowyouknow. Link is down below in the comments. And you know, again, it's easy for the media and Wall Street analysts to spin Tesla's Q3 results as negative and get all fuddy, but I'd like to compare Cybertruck deliveries in Q3 to Rivian's deliveries.
Thank you to Holmar's Catalog for this post. That pretty much says it all.
Yeah, Q3 2024, Rivian's R1S plus their R1T plus their van deliveries was 10,018.
Tesla's Cybertruck deliveries, 16,915.
Cybertruck alone is bigger than Rivian's entire business and will be profitable first.
So you have Rivian, which has been working on their R1T for years, and they released the R1T 2.5 years ago. And Cybertruck is in the first year of production, and it has already surpassed Rivian and their entire lineup.
We have now had our Cybertruck for 5 months. We have road tripped with it. You've gone camping with it, with the Cyber Tent. We've hauled lumber with it. We're now testing FSD on it. I have driven all of Tesla's vehicles so far, except for the Semi. And I just got to say, now that I really feel like I've experienced this vehicle, it is my favorite Tesla vehicle yet. I love the four-wheel steering. I love the responsiveness. I love the bed, the tonneau cover, the power outlets, the fact that soon it's going to be able to power share with the house, power our house, thanks to Smart Charge America. We can't wait to bring you all that content. But I didn't want to gush over the Cybertruck on the first day. Just like with all our other electric pickup trucks, I wanted to put them through their paces first. And there are even more things to test. Because
winter is coming.
Yeah, we're excited to show you how the Cybertruck handles our Northeast snowstorms.
I want to see if we can get a snowplow on it.
I want to get a camper or two and show you all of that.
And I can't wait to start towing our solar mobile trailer all over the place. There are so many fun things I want to do with Cybertruck and you, Jesse.
Me too.
Now, I want to go back to the point that might have been missed in the Holmar's post, right? The part about Cybertruck will be profitable first, because I think it's important to remember that Rivian still has negative margins on every vehicle they sell.
Yeah. As of Q3 of this year, which is the last one, Rivian was losing approximately $35,000 on every sale.
And while we don't know what Tesla's profit margins are on Cybertruck yet, I do strongly believe that with Tesla's vertical integration and unrelenting focus on manufacturing efficiency, the Cybertruck will be profitable very soon. And that is without factoring in FSD sales. So I think that's incredible to take just Tesla's Cybertruck and compare it to a whole other multi-billion dollar corporation, and Cybertruck's already winning. Mm. This just in, Tesla has started inviting people to order the non-Foundation Series Cybertruck starting at $79,900.
Being under $80,000 means that they may be eligible for the $7,500 federal tax credit.
So that's $73,000 roughly.
On Tesla's website, as of this recording, I couldn't see how to buy anything other than the Foundation Series, but with invites going out, I believe that may change soon.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people on X who are getting their non-Foundation Series, including Dr. Know-It-All. He said, engineering is the science of compromise. In a car, you get acceleration or comfort or sportiness or range or agility, but you can't have them all. But Tesla somehow managed all of them with the Cybertruck. How is that even possible? Tesla engineers are magicians.
And Elon said, Cybertruck is special.
And people are asking, are there any changes to the non-Foundation Series Cybertruck?
Funny you should ask. Gregor Truck on X pointed out a few. He said there have been some slight changes to non-Foundation Series Cybertrucks. Check out the first landed non-Foundation Series Cybertruck picks here.
Okay, so this first one about the Squircle says airbag on the right side next to the horn. I checked, and we also have that same thing that says airbag. So that's not true. But silver is different on the Squircle. Okay.
What's Squircle?
Okay. Of course, there's no foundation badging on the sides of the truck. There's a lower center console that no longer has silver inlay. Hmm. And there's no more bed rings.
Bed rings?
Yeah, you know, if you want to attach things to the bed.
Oh, like the D-rings that you'd
right.
ratchet strap
now,
to.
The good news is you can buy those on Tesla's store page. I think they're $40, so it's not a big deal. And I think, as we were talking about the other day, some people don't even want the bed rings because they're not going to use it as a pickup truck.
It's just adding weight, man. Yeah. Think of all the horsepower. There's also no rubber floor mats included, which was included on the Foundation series. But
as so many people have pointed out, there's still a rivet on the acceleration pedal. Yes, because the glue was somehow not working all the time and it was slipping, so they solved it with a rivet. But here's a list of what came included in the Foundation series.
So basically, you got $17,300 worth of stuff for $20,000, or a premium of around $2,600.
But wait, actually, we're also supposed to get an off-road light bar, which hasn't arrived yet, but it is included. So I don't know what that costs, but that would also mean you're getting that as well. Oh, and speaking of accessories for Cybertruck, did you see the Cybertruck cooler? I just noticed that the other day when I was on their site.
Hmm. And it's only $700. Perfect.
A little pricey.
Wow.
I thought it was an actual like plug-in cooler, but it's not. It's just a cooler
fits
in the front.
It's literally just plastic and foam like every other cooler on it. But it looks
cool.
It looks cool. Fits in the frunk.
Yeah.
So just, I mean,
what a normal cooler's cost.
I feel
$400?
Like, I think $50 and some adhesive glue and you're all set to make your own cooler, but whatever.
Maybe you can make your own cooler. Like making a cooler, everyone's like, oh, this cooler's a Yeti. Coolers are literally just
foam.
A plastic clamshell case and filled with foam. Okay, but you know, do you think we should get it?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Have you heard about the Cybertruck recall?
I heard the Cybertruck got recalled.
I knew that Teslas were unreliable and unsafe. The Cybertruck recall.
Calm down, people. Yes, as NHTSA said in its recall notice, 27,185 Cybertrucks that were produced between November 13th of 2023 and September 14th of 2024 are affected by the recall, and that also gives us a good production number.
Although, only 1% were estimated to actually have the defect.
The issue is described as follows. On certain affected vehicles, under certain conditions, the vehicle system, including the rear view image, may not complete a shutdown process before the system is commanded to boot up. If the driver starts a backing event before the vehicle system completes its shutdown and boot up, the rear view image may not display within 2 seconds of placing the vehicle in reverse as required by FMVSS111S6.2.3.
But guess what? Tesla's already fixed the problem. And nobody even had to get off the couch.
That's right. Because within days of the problems being noticed, Tesla sent out an over-the-air software update that fixed the problem.
But it's a recall!
It's a recall! Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. They already fixed it. You didn't have to take it into the service center. They just... And over-the-air update, it's done.
And if you want to learn about recalls and other cool things like Cybertruck front frunk coolers and stuff like that, go to the Cybertruck Owners Club. They have all of this and more from actual owners. And they've got their reservation trackers so you can see when you're getting yours. Although on the website, it says you can get them in October. So I don't think there's any more wait.
That's October's right now.
Yes, it is.
This week on one of our sister channels, Now Let's Review, we reviewed one of the least expensive e-scooters we've seen, the EcoRoad EC6.
Now, this is very reminiscent of your first e-scooter, the Show Me scooter that we got first back in like, what was it, 2016 or 2017?
Yeah, the EcoRoad EC6 is very similar to the Show Me, except that the price is so much lower now.
Yeah, the EC6 is, what, $219, which is about a third the price of the original Show Me that you had that was like 6 or 7 years ago before inflation needed reducing.
Get your newspaper here before inflation makes it completely unaffordable and before newspapers are no longer a thing.
I think that the EcoRoad EC6 would be a really good choice as a first scooter to see if you like e-scooters in general.
I also think it'd be great for like college campuses, short commutes. So go check out our review on Now Let's Review where we give you all the info you need.
The stats, the features, and our honest opinions so that you can make an informed choice.
On our other sister channel, Disruptive Investing, this week, we have an interview with John Ratchert, the co-founder and CEO of a company called Lit Thinking.
We are always on the lookout for companies that are developing products and technologies that could disrupt the market.
Often we are the first to find and bring these companies to you, and often it's because of our awesome viewers like you.
Yeah, you write to us with tips and ideas, and then our equally awesome producer, Julie, helps us track down these companies and schedule interviews with the smart people who bring these technologies to market.
So if you want to find out more about Lit Thinking and their new product, well, you're going to have to go watch our interview. And while you're there on Disruptive Investing, please hit the like button and subscribe.
We're approaching 80,000 subscribers on Disruptive Investing. And the more subscribers we get, the more founders and CEOs we can bring to you.
So if you want to be good at investing in disruptive companies, let's be honest, you got to put the work in. And hearing directly from the founders and CEOs of companies doing the disrupting is one of the best ways we know of to excel at the craft. So link to that episode is down below in the show notes. We urge you to go watch. So guess how many students attend Texas A&M University?
4,000?
Texas A&M University in College Station, Texas has about 74,000 enrolled students. Many students complain that with a student population that has increased by 18,000 over the past 10 years, they can no longer get around campus to classes quickly anymore. Peter Lange is the chief operating officer of Texas A&M, and he said recently that the school is considering having the Boring Company build a 2.3-mile transit loop. The Boring Company proposal provides a mobility solution that improves campus-wide connectivity, reduces road congestion, allows for future expansion as the need arises, and the vehicles in the tunnel are zero-emission electric. The tunnel itself would be built 30 feet below ground with a combination of above-ground and below-ground stations. There currently simply isn't a way to transition the number of students we serve safely and effectively in the limited time frame between classes. Now, the project would cost between $250 and $350 million, and I hear a lot of you going, oh my God, that's a lot of money. But typically, 1 mile of tunnel costs $1 billion. So that actually means this tunnel system would be 85% cheaper than if they did it the traditional way. And Elon, of course, said,
cool. 74,000 students. No wonder it's called College Station.
When I went to BU, I think there was like 13,000 and it felt like a city because it practically was.
I mean, 74,000 is more than some cities.
Most cities. I mean, lots of cities. Yeah.
That's a lot of students, man.
That's a lot of students. This is what College Station used to look like. Let's build a college and people will come. Let's build a tunnel first. I just think it's really cool because students are complaining that they can't get around campus either. I mean, they can't even get to class quickly enough. And so having this tunnel could solve the problem. And it'd also be just really cool.
I mean, we had tunnels in my school.
Yeah, but you had to walk through them.
I had to walk through them.
Tesla Energy posted 750,000 Powerwalls installed worldwide.
And Elon said, good progress.
Now, we've been tracking Powerwall sales in our own spreadsheet as well.
And our data seems to match Tesla's, which is good.
But even though it's looking like exponential growth, if you remember, in mid-June 2023, I predicted that Tesla should be at 1 million Powerwalls by June of 2024. And obviously, there were not. I was kind of surprised in February of this year when Tesla announced that they had sold 600,000 Powerwalls. I thought that number was kind of low. And I am surprised again. I really thought that since the demand is there for Powerwalls, that Tesla could have cranked them out faster. And I think that's why Elon said good progress instead of great progress.
I mean, I really hope that the Powerwall division can increase the production rate.
There's so many people we know of that are waiting for Powerwalls.
Right. It's a tough one because the batteries are either going to be going into cars or you're going to be putting batteries into Powerwalls.
Or into Megapacks.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem. Yeah, it's like they've got so many great places to put them. And I think that's the limiting factor are the battery cells. This might be of interest to our UK viewers. Tesla will soon be offering Quicksilver paint color for the Model 3.
Tesla UK says now coming to UK. It'll cost you, though. It's an additional £2,000 for this premium paint option versus the deep blue metallic, solid black, and stealth gray, which cost an additional £1,300.
And that's not all that's coming to the UK. Tesla UK announced last Friday
the most efficient Model Y now available in the UK. So that's the Model Y long-range rear-wheel drive variant for £46,990. That is with 373 miles of WLTP range, 135 mile-an-hour top speed, and 0 to 60 in 5.7 seconds.
Yes, and the Model Y standard range variant has been removed from the UK market.
Oh. So Tesla giveth and Tesla taketh away.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Just got a free coffee with my EarnIFI points.
Your what?
The points I get with the new EarnIFI app from BP and Amoco. I got 250 for signing up and more every time I fill up or buy anything in the C-store.
Oh, can you use points for fuel?
Of course.
And discounts and deals?
On anything.
Oh, like chips?
Mm-hmm.
Sodas?
You got it.
The actual slushy machine.
Only what's actually for sale. But you do get double the points for the first 90 days. Just go to EarnIFIRewards.com to download the app.
Available at participating locations only. App content is subject to change.
Here in the U.S., Tesla has apparently discontinued the Model 3 rear-wheel drive with LFP batteries.
But I still see the rear-wheel drive listed on Tesla's website.
Yes, that is the 363-mile range Model 3. But Tesla used to also offer the rear-wheel drive with LFP batteries that had a 272-mile range.
Why would Tesla do that?
My guess is that since the LFP batteries were coming in from China, that the new tariffs were making them too expensive and may have also made the car ineligible for the full federal tax credit.
Oh, good point. Plus, the LFP version was only $3,500 cheaper than the 363-mile version. And, I mean, that's 91 more miles of range that you get, and that's a big difference.
Plus, this one has better acceleration, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is probably why they did it. So we reported previously on XAI's new Memphis, Tennessee supercomputer facility that Elon has dubbed Colossus.
Well, now in a $78 million collaboration between XAI, the Tennessee Valley Authority, and Nucor Steel, the permits have been filed for a new Colossus water recycle facility, which Elon says will enable significant expansion of Colossus.
And we're talking a lot of power. 150 megawatts being pumped into these computers to train and run the AI. And all those computers have to be cooled by water, which is where this water recycle facility comes in.
When this facility is up and running, it will use approximately 788 gigawatt hours of energy per year.
That's enough energy to power 75,000 homes for a year.
Shows you how stupid homes are. Not thinking hard enough, homes. For this week's Starman Report, we go to Eli in LA.
Welcome back to the Starman Report. I'm Eli Burton, your host, and this week we are doing something special. Instead of your typically space news update, we're giving you an update from the Starman universe. We're standing here today at LA Comic-Con at booth number 2027, and we've got the entire universe that we've built here for the world to come out and experience. We've got six original core issues, we've got stickers, we've now got temporary tattoos, and here today at LA Comic-Con, we've got a couple cool exclusive reveals for you. So today we have here at the showroom of LA Comic-Con in the heart of culture, Starman's Tesla Roadster. But that's not all. Standing here at 6'5" and an unbelievable amount of pounds stands my friend, Starman. Now, you're probably wondering why this car is blue, because isn't Starman's Roadster red? Well, you're right, but we have a LA Comic-Con exclusive story featuring Stanley, the LA Comic-Con mascot, and it tells the story of what happened to Starman's Tesla Roadster and why she's blue. Come check us out. We'd love to show you more. Wait. Don't leave yet. I almost forgot. The most exciting thing we have here this year is the first ever Soda Cat plushie. If you read Operation Darkstone or you're part of the Starman universe, you'll know that this is a favorite character. We got a lot of more stories coming with her soon, and I'm excited that we have one of these that's huggable. We actually have a second one I think we're gonna give away to somebody. But anyways, guys, thank you so much for joining me for this special episode of the Starman Report, and back to you, Zach and Jesse.
Thanks, Eli. That looks like a lot of fun. And, one of our viewers, Adam, joined forces with Starman and Eli at Comic-Con over the weekend. There's Adam.
Who's he dressed as?
Oh, I don't know. Someone cool, like a ninja. And in some space news, Starlink has been conducting tests in Romania in collaboration with the Romanian National Authority for Management and Regulation and Communication for the past few months.
They're testing to see if Starlink can operate at higher equivalent power flux density levels, or EFPD.
more power.
Starlink thinks they may be able to operate at levels 8 times higher than current international telecommunication union levels without interrupting existing geostationary satellite communications.
If this is true, then Starlink could significantly increase internet speeds and coverage areas.
As Elon says, this is really important. The rules should be that Starlink can operate at whatever power level does not disrupt other communication systems, not some arbitrary low power limit.
So is he talking about space lasers?
I don't know if it's just radio broadcast or lasers.
It's, yeah, it's radio broadcast.
Elon then said, we're getting as many Starlinks as possible to areas affected by the hurricane. Starlink posted this, which has actually just been updated. In total, 500 Starlink kits have arrived. Actually, it's now over 1,000. Sean Hendrick says, please share and tag, hey, Elon, can you make Starlink free for the next 30 days in the disaster zone? It's really slowing us down setting these up, and I am putting them all on my personal card. Gift cards won't seem to process.
Elon says, we are making a system update to allow all Starlinks in the affected areas to work regardless of payment. Software update hopefully completed tonight, tomorrow at the latest.
And then check out this video.
What I'm trying to do is get the Starlink into them, just because I want to make a point that they're literally the only reason that we can connect with our convoy.
First responders in North Carolina are using the new Starlink Mini in their vehicles as the only way to communicate days into the aftermath of Hurricane Helene in western North Carolina.
Elon said, cool. He also said Starlink terminals will now work automatically without need for payment in the areas affected by Hurricane Helene. Thanks to the Starlink team for making the software update in less than a day. Starlink then posted areas affected by Hurricane Helene are currently eligible for 30 days of free Starlink service to help with response and recovery efforts.
Nick Sortor said, thank you, Elon and SpaceX, for bringing us another truckload of Starlinks for us to deploy all around Western North Carolina. So many that even our police escort had to load up their vehicles with them, too. Thousands more Helene victims are about to come back online.
Elon said, anything more I can do to help?
Gemma and HS said, would like to extend a heartfelt thank you to Elon for providing 72 Starlinks to the state of Georgia. This generous contribution will help restore critical internet connectivity for residents affected by Hurricane Helene. We appreciate your support. Yeah, so it's been over 1,000 Starlinks, and that's just as of the recording today.
Elon said, you are most welcome.
Elon then said, Starlink is now available in Samoa. Alex posted this. Starlink saves La Ferme de la Isle, a dairy farm in Mayonne, Normandy, France. After 3 months without internet connectivity, seeing their revenue evaporate and being basically abandoned by their local operator of the fragile and poorly maintained wired network, they decided to invest in 3 Starlink connections.
And Elon said, cool.
Or cool. Air New Zealand is going to trial Starlink on all their flights.
Elon said, cool.
Cool.
And United Launch Alliance launched their CERT II Vulcan rocket last Friday for a test flight. And during that launch, it lost part of its booster.
About 37 seconds into its flight, one of the strap-on boosters made by Northrop Grumman started sparking and the rocket tilted before the guidance system made corrections.
But the FAA said that it, quote, determined no investigation is warranted at this time.
Eric Berger tweeted, FAA says, nah, we're good after Vulcan booster issue.
And Elon posted, question mark?
But the FAA has decided to ground SpaceX's Falcon 9 launches after an anomaly with Crew 9 launch on September 28th.
SpaceX describes the problem. After today's successful launch of Crew 9, Falcon 9's second stage was disposed in the ocean as planned, but experienced an off-nominal deorbit burn. As a result, the second stage safely landed in the ocean, but outside of the targeted area. We will resume launching after we better understand root cause.
If the booster comes loose, I mean, who cares? You know, whatever. That
little sparking.
If ULA does it, we don't care. But if SpaceX does it, right. Now, this was the third problem that SpaceX has had in the past 3 months.
Yeah, in July, SpaceX had an upper stage liquid oxygen leak, which resulted in them losing 20 Starlink satellites. And in August, a first stage had an unsuccessful landing after a Starlink launch. All right, it's time for Into the Future, sponsored by our friends at Henson Shaving. Escape into the
future. If you want to get the best razor on earth, you can. All you have to do is go to hensonshaving.com. And if you want, you can get 100 blades for free using our code NOWYOUKNOW at checkout.
All right, so guess which auto company has delayed the production of their first U.S.-made EV into the future? I'll give you a hint. They make the EV model that sounds like a math equation, the BZ4X.
Now pay attention, class. This will be on the quiz. BZ4X equals EV, where B is the number of businessmen in the company, Z is how often they fall asleep in meetings, 4 is the number of tires, and X is what we're solving for. So that would have to be Toyota.
Yes, the Japanese automaker had planned to start producing its three-row all-electric SUV at its Georgetown, Kentucky plant in 2025, but now they say it won't start until 2026. Toyota is investing $1.3 billion to upgrade the plant for EV production, but they have encountered delays. Toyota also plans to produce its second all-electric SUV at its Princeton, Indiana plant in late 2026.
So what, does Toyota only build plants in towns named after colleges?
Oh, yeah. Georgetown, Princeton.
So what is Toyota going to call these new models? The BZ5X?
Maybe they should name them after the towns they're built in. The Georgetown and the Princeton.
Honestly, that would be better than anything is better than the BZ4X. Now, I've seen BZ4Xs, mm-hmm. but they're not made in the United States. They're made in Japan.
Right. They haven't. Right. They're made in Japan.
Okay.
All right. It's time for Going Green. So did you know that according to Redwood Materials, the lithium battery recycling company started by J.B. Straubel, that over 150 million phones are thrown out every year in the U.S.?
That's crazy. There are 345 million people in the U.S. and an estimated 82% of us have cell phones. So that means that half the cell phones get thrown away every year, or half the people in the United States throw away a cell phone every year?
Yep.
That's insane.
And Redwood says that only 17% of lithium ion devices are recycled. The average U.S. consumer keeps a lithium battery device for only 3 years. As Redwood says, if recycled, your lithium ion batteries and rechargeable devices can decrease global reliance on mining and lower the cost and environmental impact of our products. And get this, it only takes 166 smartphones to recycle enough cobalt to build a new EV battery.
What? But that's... If you have 166 smartphones, you could power a EV for like maybe 100 feet. Like those batteries are not big enough. So there's more cobalt in a phone. So phone batteries are more cobalt rich than EV batteries?
Well, yes, percentage wise, but also you'd only need a trace amount of cobalt in a cobalt battery for a car.
That's really crazy. Now, Redwood is setting up a few recycling bins nationwide where people can drop off their used devices. There is a map on their website with drop-off locations.
But, I mean, as you can see, there's not that many, and if there aren't any near you, Redwood says they will also accept devices shipped to them directly at this address. I don't know if you're allowed to ship batteries that aren't shipped by ground, so make sure that you put that on the envelope because I don't think they're allowed to be on planes. I do have an idea here, though, because, I mean, it does get expensive if you were to, you know, put this in and pay $5 to have it shipped. Local groups could get together, hold collections at schools and community events, and then send them bulk to Redwood, which would be kind of cool. And I did a little more research. There are other recycling groups like Call to Recycle, which have drop-off locations all across the country. You can use their locator map on their website, calltorecycle.org locator. So a lot of them are located in Home Depots and Lowe's and like Ace Hardware's. I'm not 100% sure, though, that each of those battery locations actually fully recycles the batteries. A lot of them, when I dove in deeper, they go to individual kind of organizations and companies, and some of them just dispose of them. So at least with Redwood, you know that it's actually being fully recycled. So, yeah, I mean, it's not that big a deal to save up a bunch and then send them to Redwood.
I just think from a geopolitics perspective, the United States should prioritize the trying to get to like 100% recycling.
Oh, completely. I mean, because I think if there is a place for government here, it would be like, yeah, let's make sure that when you there should be labeling. First of all, when you put your battery of any kind into a box, you walk away feeling good. But that box should say what's going to happen to this battery. Is it going to be fully recycled or just disposed of? And because I don't feel good if I'm just disposing of it. I want these materials to be recycled.
Because when they're recycled, you only need 166 phones to basically like get enough cobalt to make an EV battery. We just said that there were 150 million phones disposed of every year. So we're on the order of a million EV batteries that could be powered by just the cobalt of those smartphones.
Right.
That's insane. And by the way, if you're like, why do you care about recycling so much? I'm being a little cynical here, but like as an American, we are getting these battery materials from like countries that are typically not our friends very much. And normally, if you're, say, buying oil from a country that you may not be in perfect terms with, you don't get to keep the oil once you're done using it. It's gone.
Right.
With a battery, you get to keep all the cobalt, you get to keep all the nickel, and if you recycle it properly, you get to keep all of the graphite and stuff.
And the lithium.
So if we get to keep all of these materials in the United States, all these people who are buying smartphones and laptops and stuff like that are actually increasing our strategic reserve of these materials.
Yeah.
And that is a really interesting thing to think about, in something that has almost never happened in human history, unless we were talking about like gold.
Yep, it's true.
Now, you may remember that we interviewed the co-founder and CEO of Climatize, Will Wiseman, earlier this year.
He co-founded Climatize as a way for individuals like you to have access to solar energy projects that are raising funds.
Their team just launched the web version of their platform, which means that you don't need to download an app to explore the projects and potentially invest. You can simply go to climatize.earth/NYK.
So the way it works is you can go to the Climatize website, you set up an account. If you choose to invest, you can do so with as little as $10. There are no investor fees, and this is open to all U.S. bank account holders over the age of 18. You don't need to be an accredited investor or anything special.
You can look through their investment offerings and choose a project that you'd like to support.
Investment offerings on their platform have the ability to pay up to 10% annual target return.
Yes, you heard that right. You can potentially earn up to a 10% annual return, and you're investing your money into solar energy projects across the United States.
Did we get your attention? I thought so.
Use our referral code NYK023 to get $25 in free credit once you complete your onboarding process.
So check them out, but kindly remember that we are not financial advisors. This is not a solicitation to invest, and all investments carry risk. So please consult with a professional before making any financial decisions.
Thank you to Climatize for sponsoring our show.
That 10% return is just about what Mark Cuban made when he sold the Mavericks. So you could be just like a billionaire, getting the same returns by investing in solar. All right, it's time for sunspots. So let's take a look at this new chart of the levelized cost of electricity of renewable energy compared to the cost of competing fossil fuels.
Okay, so what are we looking at here?
Okay, so let's look at that first column. Mm-hmm. So that is solar photovoltaics, solar panels. They went from 414% more expensive than fossil fuels in 2010 to 56% less expensive than fossil fuels in 2023. The next column is concentrated solar. It's still slightly more expensive than fossil fuels by 17%, but honestly, concentrated solar was never going to be the way. The third column is offshore wind, which is now 25% cheaper than fossil fuels. And the fourth and final column is onshore wind, which is now 67% cheaper than fossil fuels.
Solar and wind. This is the way.
This is the way.
Renewable developer Ameresco partnered with the Mountain Regional Water Special Service District in Utah to install Utah's first floating solar farm.
This 587-kilowatt solar array is floating on a holding pond at the Signal Hill Water Treatment Plant in Summit County.
What's cool about floating solar are three things. Number one, the water helps keep the panels cooler, which makes them more efficient.
Number two, the solar panels help reduce evaporation. So for a holding pond where you actually need to hold the water, evaporation is your enemy, and floating solar helps reduce that.
And number three, this area was unused space and it's flat. So no need to demo a land area. It's a win-win-win.
Win-win!
And if you would like to put solar, I don't think on your pond, but on your roof, call our friends at Energy Pal. They know how to do it, and they know how to do it the cheapest and the best way, and they will help you do it for free. Let them know that Zach and Jesse sent you. The link is down below.
I mean, most people aren't like using their roofs. Like,
hey, I was going to
barbecue up there.
I was going to do something up there.
All right, it's time for our video contributor stories. Remember, send us your stories to hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. Send them 2 minutes or less. Shoot them in landscape, no music, and no wind noise. So take it away.
Hi, Zach and Jesse. I'm here in the south of Germany, south of Munich, next to the Austrian border. And what you see in the background here is a big solar park, and adjacent to that is a big charging station. And you can charge here with 160 kilowatts, and they will charge you depending on the sun. That's very interesting. A price of about 25 cents per kilowatt hour, and that's almost half of that what a Tesla supercharger will charge you. So, very nice, and the sun is wonderful today. Now you know.
Thank you so much for sending us video contributor stories. Again, if you're like, oh, I want to send them a video contributor story, I have a story. Just send it to hello@nowyouknowchannel.com.
All right, it's time for our Patreon bonus stories. On our Patreon this week, we've got so many stories just for our patrons.
We have the BYD fire recall.
Is Tesla going to make drones?
Jim Farley says this is the biggest EV obstacle.
And did Tesla just destroy camp mode? And more.
You can see these stories for just a buck a month. Also, our Investor Club bonus stories for our Investor Club members.
Head over to patreon.com/nowyouknow. Support us. Keep independent journalism strong and get all these Patreon bonus stories for just a buck a month.
We'll see you wonderful patrons on Patreon.
All right, we're back from Patreon bonus stories. It's time for the Patreon poll.
So do you think that McDonald's recent 1010 post on X is related to the robotaxi event? And 77% of people said no. I think it's just McDonald's social media department having a bit of fun.
I think you're right. I think it's not going to be Optimus delivering your Big Mac.
I mean,
that still will happen in the future, but I don't think that's what's going
to
happen. Right.
I mean, to me, the background of the image, it's like a Twitch streamer's thing. So I think that has nothing to do with robotaxi.
All right, it's time for Elon's X's of the week. Buckle up, because you know Elon did go to the Trump rally this week, and I know that's going to upset a lot of you. Elon said, since the Hurricane Helene disaster, SpaceX has sent as many Starlink terminals as possible to help areas in need. Earlier today, Donald Trump alerted me to additional people who need Starlink internet in North Carolina. We are sending them terminals right away. Ashley St. Clair says, Costco has more ID verification than our elections.
Elon says, literally, your average library has more identity verification than California requires for voting. I wonder why.
George says, breaking, the DNC just filed a lawsuit against the Georgia Election Board to block the new rule that requires election workers to hand count ballots to ensure the totals match what the voting machines say.
And Elon said, crazy.
Brendan Carr of the FCC said the FCC just released the text of its 3-2 decision to approve a Soros-backed group's purchase of 200-plus radio stations.
Elon says the FCC is breaking the law.
Jimma says, if you're hearing, as I often do, that solar isn't growing fast enough to meet future needs, please keep in mind that that is bull.
Elon said solar power is growing super fast. In the very long term, Kardashev scale, solar will be greater than 99% of all power generation.
HealthBot says now Fauci admits that COVID vaccines cause myocarditis, particularly in young men. Should he be prosecuted for lying to the public?
Elon says, I know several people who got myocarditis. I almost had to go to the hospital after my second booster shot, which was mandatory in order to travel.
Zuby says, prediction, all truth-seeking people of sound mind and good heart will be connected in the next 20 years, irrespective of their age, nationality, ethnicity, social class, religion, background, or location. It's already happening, but people haven't fully noticed it yet.
Elon said this would be beautiful.
Alex says, news, California enacts law banning voter ID requirements. Governor Gavin Newsom signed a bill into law that bars local governments from enacting laws to require residents to show a valid form of ID in order to vote.
Elon says, wow, it's now illegal to require voter ID in California. They just made preventing voter fraud against the law. The Joker is in charge.
Elon then said, if the Dems win, they will force this on the whole country. John Carmack says, given recent Mars discussions, best guess for first live human setting foot on Mars. Engage full critical thinking skills. And most people said 2040.
Elon says, best case 2028, but probably 2030. If SpaceX is not smothered by regulations, then the Starship launch rate will far exceed the Falcon launch rate, as the Starship is fully reusable while Falcon is only mostly reusable. Starship should be doing greater than 1,000 Earth orbit flights per year by 2028. That is still low compared to what is needed to build a self-sustaining city on Mars and secure the future of consciousness.
TechMeme says sources OpenAI has asked investors to avoid backing rival startups such as Anthropic and XAI.
Elon says OpenAI has turned evil.
Alex says, for your information, North Carolina would have 19,522 working Starlink kits available today after Hurricane Helene had the FCC not revoked in bad faith the grant that was awarded to SpaceX as the winning bidder.
Elon said, had the FCC not illegally revoked the SpaceX Starlink award, it probably would have saved lives in North Carolina. Lawfare costs lives.
Mario says court blocks California law on deceptive election deepfakes. A federal judge has blocked a California law that would have restricted materially deceptive deepfakes related to elections.
Elon said California's unconstitutional law infringing on your freedom of speech has been blocked by the court. Yay.
Ib says this is the CBP One app that U.S. government has authorized to let as many foreign nationals into the country as possible.
Elon says it takes less than 5 minutes and zero documentation to get approved as an illegal immigrant and be flown to the United States with air tickets paid for by the American taxpayer.
Elon then said AI will be better than the best doctors.
The World of Engineering said an architect and a structural engineer can never be friends.
Elon said, that's deep. Most people don't understand that the reason tall buildings don't fall down is because of structural engineering, not architecture.
Elon said full self-driving will soon exceed 10,000 miles between critical interventions, which is a year of driving for most people.
X posted 12.5.4 is rough on hardware 3. Lots of phantom braking is back. That being said, hands off is a game changer. Absolutely bonkers experience. Once you realize you're getting accustomed to just sitting back and relaxing in the car, just watching out the windshield for areas the car might do wonky stuff at.
Elon said smoothness upgrade is in the works for hardware 3.
Elon then said, as a reminder, I'm very much in favor of expedited legal immigration for anyone who is talented, hardworking, and honest. America should be like a pro sports team that wants to win the championship. Draft the best players to enable the whole team to win.
Shibutoshi Nakamoto said, it's so frustrating to me that some of my incredibly smart and talented friends and colleagues have such a hard time dealing with stupid visa issues, but it seems like there's an infinite accommodation for fentanyl mules and the like who have no interest in providing value.
Elon then said, exactly. Current immigration policy makes no sense. It's totally backwards. America First Legal says there are 218,000 registered voters in Arizona who have never provided proof of citizenship. For context, the margin of victory for the 2020 presidential race in Arizona was only 10,457 votes.
Elon said, citizens of Arizona, this election is your last chance before you're disenfranchised.
This breaking news that illegal immigration populations have increased by hundreds of percent in swing states during the Biden-Harris administration, according to court filings. IO says, is there any real evidence that recently arrived illegal immigrants have ever voted in any meaningful numbers? And if it exists, what's the nature of this evidence? And then IO said, right, but Musk and others who are raising this issue seem to believe that the recent arrivals might make a difference in this election.
Elon says, bro, don't strawman my argument. It takes 5 years to go from permanent residency to citizenship, or just 3 years via marriage. That's roughly one presidential election cycle. The vast number of illegals brought in over the past 4 years will be legalized as quickly as possible over the next 4 years under a Democratic administration. The margin of victory is very slim in the swing states, being in the tens of thousands. So it's easy to overwhelm that margin if even 5% per year of the roughly 15 million existing illegal immigrants in America are able to vote.
Elon then said, if I bring up Trump in LA, people react like they got shot with a dart containing rabies and crystal meth. He went on to say, just received this note from a SpaceX engineer helping on the ground in North Carolina. FEMA is not merely failing to adequately help people in trouble, but is actively blocking citizens who try to help. Hey, Elon, update here on the site of Asheville, North Carolina. We have powered up two large operating bases for choppers to deliver goods into hands. We've deployed 300 plus Starlinks, and the outpour has saved many lives. The big issue is FEMA is actively blocking shipments and seizing goods and services locally and locking them away to state that they are their own. It's very real and scary how much they have taken control to stop people helping. We are blocked now on the shipments of new Starlinks coming in until we get an escort from the fire department, but that may not be enough. So Elon posted,
impeach Mayorkas again. Weak government leadership costs lives.
Secretary Pete Buttigieg says no one is shutting down the airspace and FAA doesn't block legitimate rescue and recovery flights. If you're encountering a problem, give me a call.
Elon says, are you saying this man and hundreds of others are all lying? There are hundreds of reports of FEMA and FAA blocking flights. This literally just happened. I will follow you. He's talking to Pete. Please DM me the number to call.
Elon said, still waiting. The helicopter's trying to land to deliver critical supplies. What's the number to call?
Then just a little while later, he said, thanks for the call. Hopefully we can resolve this soon. And then a little bit later than that, he says, thanks for helping simplify the FAA NOTAM. Support flights are now underway. Much appreciated. He then said, thanks for expediting approval for support flights. Just want to note that Secretary Buttigieg is on the ball. Problem has been resolved. Kudos to Secretary Pete.
And do you see what just happened there? X allowed two important people to talk to each other and solve a problem. And then Elon gave credit where credit was due. The Pete Buttigieg helped solve the FEMA problem.
Well, and when do we ever get to see this happening publicly?
In real time.
I mean, it's one thing to be like, oh, there was, what, back in the 70s, there was a CBS presidential debate and somebody raised a question and the you know, that candidate tried to solve it. Okay. It normally wasn't the case that there was like an emergency and you got to see two very powerful people talking back and forth and solving a problem in real time. Yeah. That's amazing.
And what's amazing about X is that you know those two people are who they say they are.
Mm-hmm.
Elon said, worth noting that XAI has been and will open source its models, including weights and everything. As we create the next version, we open source the prior version as we did with Grok 1 when Grok 2 was released. Tesla AI said, what's special about FSD Supervise is that it works anywhere in the US and Canada. No high definition maps, no geofence. This means you can even use it in places that no Tesla has ever traveled to before.
Stephen King says, North Carolina, no disaster aid? Trump gutted FEMA.
Elon says, he hasn't been president for 4 years. Is anything not his fault? Elon then said, this is the pack that I created to support candidates who believe in the core values of America. And then Elon changed his profile pic. 10 million people watched as Elon spoke at the Trump rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. And soon after, he changed his pic to this. Elon then said, very autistic expression I have in this pic.
And Mae Musk said, so proud. She then went on to say, I'm embarrassed to say that I believe the mainstream media in the past. But in the last 4 years, there are just lies. Unfortunately, some intelligent people still trust them. It is exhausting to convince them of the truth. Sigh.
Elon said, the term far right has been watered down so much by the legacy media as to render the term meaningless by historical standards, which is the terrible thing for them to do.
The Senator Mike Lee said, far right equals anyone or anything that doesn't wholeheartedly embrace the radical progressive cause and its Marxist objectives.
And Elon said, exactly. Joe Gabriel Simonson said, for context about all the FEMA stuff, I saw Alejandro Mayorkas this afternoon at Sid Mashburn, which is the second time I've seen him there on a Saturday afternoon in about a month. So suffice to say, this guy isn't working around the clock.
Elon said he's shopping for fancy clothes while people are suffering from hurricane damage. This is some Hunger Games.
And it's time for community mail time.
Community mail time.
We got this picture of a canoe at the Yukon, Oklahoma Czech Festival Parade.
Yeah, a friend of ours is going to be getting one soon, so hopefully we'll be able to show you that. Sean in Cranston, Rhode Island sent us these pictures of a Cybertruck.
Scott sent us this video that he made of his Cybertruck ad.
Look at that paint job. It looks like, he let his kids paint all over his truck?
Kind of neat.
I'll wash it off later.
It's kind of neat. Michael sent us this picture of a beast mode Cybertruck in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, man. Andrew sent us this picture of an eVTOL he spotted in Grand Central Station. That means electric, vertical, and takeoff landing plane.
And I don't think it flew there.
I hope not. The chandelier would be busted.
Brian spotted this in St. Augustine, Florida.
Oh, it looks like a video game.
It does. Ian spotted a Tesla fuel station on his trip to the Philippines on the Isle of Leyte. What the heck? I don't think that despite them using the Tesla font, the Tesla name, and the Tesla logo, I don't think that this is a Tesla-operated site.
Maybe Tesla should get involved. Maybe they've gotten around the copyright with like Tesla. Like they've separated the word.
It might be Tesla.
Maybe. Anyway, I don't know. That's cutting it close. Wait, what's plutonium gasoline?
Does it run like on regular unleaded gasoline?
Unfortunately, no. It requires something with a little more kick. Plutonium.
David spotted this fire department Model Y in the Ballantine area of Charlotte, North Carolina.
I think it's probably hard at work right now.
Yeah.
Michael spotted this electric bike on Royal Caribbean's private island, the perfect day at Coco Key in the Bahamas.
Private island.
With e-bikes.
Nice.
All right.
Joseph was in the Viejas Casino in California. They have over 400 EV chargers there, and he found out that you could win a gold-wrapped Tesla, 10 of them.
I don't think that you necessarily win 10.
Well, right, there's 10 chances
to win. But there's 10 chances to win a Tesla. So it's just,
that's a really sexy prize.
I'm not much of a gambler, but...
Well, that's a Y prize.
Yeah. Han spotted this VW ID7 and an electric Range Rover in Siebnen and Locarno, Switzerland.
John sent us these pictures of a Zeekr he spotted in the Hyatt in Bogota, Colombia. He also spotted this Equinox and Blazer EV as well. And so remember, share your stories, your photos, your videos with us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. That's what makes the show so much fun. All right, so it's time for our EV tip of the week. And thanks to our friend Michael for this tip. So if you're in a Tesla and something sketchy happens, you get into an accident, you get pulled over for no reason, whatever, beep the horn. That will record your Sentry Cam footage for up to an hour before and after you press the horn. It's not exactly an hour, but it depends on how much storage you have and stuff like that. But it's a nice feature because when something happens, you usually have like your adrenaline pumping. And if you're like me, you're like, I don't know what to touch right now. So just beep the horn, which is kind of the natural thing to do when you get scared. And then later you will have footage of what happened before and after.
You may need to turn this setting on.
Yes. I mean, so, right. Before you get into the accident.
So like today, when you go out to your car, take a minute, go into the settings.
And test it, by the way. And, you know, in a nice, safe place, beep the horn, see if it worked, make sure that everything's running. Because, you know, hopefully you never need it, but in that time that you do, it's nice to have. And it's time for beautiful superchargers right now. And Tesla Charging posted in Q3, we opened 2,800 supercharger stalls, 23% year-over-year growth, delivered 1.4 terawatt hours of electricity. That's a 27% year-over-year growth, saved 150-plus million gallons of gasoline, offsetting 3-plus billion pounds of CO2. That is beautiful. All right, it's time for supercharger views. Let's see what you guys have found out there in the world.
Hey, Zach and Jesse, here we are. Point Reyes Seashore Lodge, deli, restaurant, bar. This is at the end of Sir Francis Drake Boulevard. Such a lovely drive out here in Point Reyes area. And what do we have here? But Tesla superchargers, that's right. There's two of them right here. And a few more in the back. I definitely give this a, I don't know, about a 8 out of 10. There's some good food and beautiful scenery. Look at this map here in West Marin. Come on down, sunny California. It's a beautiful drive, and you're not going to lose your charge. To eat, we got the Due West Tavern and Market. And right over there is the Alima House. Just down the way is the Alima Campground. This place is awesome. Come visit. They got public toilets. But they're just porta potties. And if you're a guest at the hotel, there's a destination charger. Now you know.
Hey, Zach and Jesse. This is Stephen Frost reporting in from San Ardo, California. New supercharger since July of 2023. This is a dozen superchargers that are 150 kilowatts each. And this would be rated one of my 10 out of 10 because it serves one of the key parameters I like about some superchargers is that they have a great location. They're very quiet. And they also have a place where you can hang out and relax. And this place used to be a gas station. And now it is the mill at 43, or called 43 Ranch. And what they do here is press olives for olive oil, which they sell here. And also they process and olive oil from regional farmers. And it's a very nice supercharger. So beautiful place to hang out. This is on Highway 101 going north from San Pedro towards the Bay Area. It's about maybe half an hour north of San Pedro. So it's a great supercharger. And now you know.
Hey, Zach and Jesse. This is Craig coming at you from Fargo, North Dakota. I'm standing here at the brand new supercharger V4 12 stall. Just south on 45th Street in Fargo. We're only about 2 miles from the original supercharger in North Dakota. This one here is located in the Shields parking lot. So Shields All Sports, it's home, Fargo, North Dakota. If you know, you know. We have a number of different shops and whatnot all around here. Crossing 45th Street's a little bit tough, but there is a Chipotle, Panda Express, a number of other different restaurants and whatnot to see. We have a handicaps stall. We also have some garbages, which is always nice. And this parking lot's nice and big, but it does get busy in the afternoons and evenings. Based off of everything here, I'd probably give this a 7 out of 10, just because the Shields isn't going to be open all that often for hours and availability. But either way, there's a lot of stuff here. So if you're in Fargo, come check it out. Now you know.
Here's a Jesse, Mrs. Spare, doing my first charge with my Chevy Bolt at the Tesla Supercharger in Tomah, Wisconsin. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 stall. You see, I had to go kitty corner a little bit. But hopefully a Tesla can still sneak into Vistman. It's not ideal, but we're getting 53 kilowatts. A lot of Teslas here for the Warren's Cranberry Festival nearby at the Heartland Cranberry Mall. Got a restaurant in there. Lots of food places around here. China Buffet, Kentucky Fried Chicken over there, gas station over here, and there is a Walmart just across the parking lot, which is where my wife and grandkids have gone. So there's lots of things to do here. Food. I would give this one, and I would say it. 8 out of 10, just because it's not real close to Walmart, but it's definitely within walking distance. That's it, Tomah, Wisconsin. First time testing out a supercharger. or my Chevy Bolt DUV. As you can see, my adapter, which is running really nice and cool. And we're getting about 54 kilowatts. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for doing Supercharger reviews. If you're like, wow, people are reviewing Superchargers, we have a map. So you can actually find where the Superchargers are. You just go to our website, nowyouknowchannel.com. And yeah, you have the whole map. You can also upload your own reviews.
All right, what do we got for new Superchargers in the world?
We got the 3-stall in Zhengzhou, China.
We have the 3-stall in Chongqing, China.
We got the 3-stall in Baoji, China.
We have the 3-stall in Kunshan, China.
We have the 3-stall in Chongqing, China.
We have the 6-stall in Hangzhou, China.
Number 149 in the UK is the 4-stall in Stevenage.
We have the 3-stall in Jingzhou, China.
We got the 3-stall in Hangzhou, China.
And guess how many there are in Maine now?
4?
21.
Wow.
We now have the number 21 in Maine, the 16-stall in Augusta at the Civic Center.
Number 2,131 in China is the 3-stall in Hangzhou.
We have number 137 in Norway. It's an expansion from 12 to 19 stalls, so you get version 3s and 4s, in Krokstad, Norway.
And number 500 in California, number 2,411 in the United States, and 6,683 in the world is the 28-stall version 4 in Santa Ana at 17th Street in California. And this one's got a solar canopy, baby.
So awesome. That's I love the awesome. Solar canopy ones.
Well, thank you so much for spending your valuable time with us today.
And thank you so much to all these people that you see right here. They make the show possible. YouTube has just decided that, like, we don't want to support creators anymore. So we basically get nothing from them. So it's you guys that keep the show going. It takes Jesse and I days to write the show and to then send it off to our editors, where it takes them 24 hours straight of putting it together around the world and getting it out to you. So you are supporting this independent news by joining us on Patreon. And look, I'm so happy to have the real Jesse back. Look, he's real. He's real.
Look at me. Hello.
I love doing the show with you, dude. Like, I've known that, but I really realized it when I was sitting next to nothing last week. Look, I'm so excited about the Wii Robot event on Thursday. We are going to come out with an in-depth on Friday to give you all the details and insights we can. So please join us. And again, hit that subscribe button, hit the bell notification button, hit the like button so you don't miss any of it.
We'll see you guys next week. Now you know.
Professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through work with relevant real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.